good morning to the hardy ones. Isn't that wonderful how God can give us such variety? We're missing a number of folks. I knew that was going to happen from about 8:30 on. I was getting phone calls and texts and everything under the sun, and I just kind of decided, I hope you'll forgive me, that I'm going to abandon the lesson that is in your bulletin and bring it back at another time, if you'll let me do that. And this morning we're going to partake of some of God's Word. It's always a good thing. I'm going to do some reading here out of 1 Thessalonians. We'll start in chapter 3 at verse 9, and I'm going to read the remainder of the book to us. Read with me. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? I'm reading from the ESV, incidentally. As we pray most earnestly night and day, there's some things that I'm not going to be able to pause all the way through, or will not yet done, but little things like this. They pray in night and day for our learning, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. We'll kind of do that with each other in fellowship. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you to increase and abound in love for one another, there's some fellowship here, and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to be blameless in holiness when our Lord comes. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you're doing, that you do so more and more. So you know how you ought to walk, you're doing it, keep doing it and do it more. That's a pretty good power package. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now that's important. In I think it's 1 Peter, it says, be ye holy as I am holy. That's a major idea in the text. The word sanctify or sanctification comes from the same root as holy. And so it's the will of God that we would be holy or sanctified. That you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Go read 1 John. If there's anything that God has taught us to do, it's to be lovers. To be lovers of the world, surely. Surely to be lovers of each other in our fellowship together. For that indeed is what you're doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. There's encouragement. Wherever we think we are, however far we think maybe we've progress, the idea that we can do better and ought to do better needs to continually be a part of our package. We need to encourage one another in the more and more zone. And to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. He introduces the idea of death. And so he says there, don't be uninformed, don't not know about those brothers that have died. And folks, we've had a bunch of that in the last year or so. That we not grieve as others who have no hope. Listen, we have hope. We have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Now, I may not know all about what that means, but it sure sounds good to me. It gives me confidence that those we know and love who have that hope in Christ Jesus are in a position that God controls. And they will be with him even when you and I join that process. For this we declare to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. This is the word is eschatology. It's from the Greek word eschatos, which means end times or end things. And so we are now talking, this is the Lord, talking a little bit about eschatology, the end times, the end things. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. I think the King James says with a shout. With the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God. Sounds like everybody's going to know what's going on. I can't imagine what that'll sound like. What I can imagine is the children of Israel complaining to Moses in fear that the noise they were hearing was literally driving them insane almost. It was so loud and so powerful and so frightening to them. Verse 17, then, Christ coming, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them, those that were dead that he's brought, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. It's pretty simple, although a lot of the world has made it very, very complex. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Aren't those encouraging words? We who are of hope in Christ Jesus, and the possibility is probably strong that we will go on and be with that group that he brings, but if we happen to remain until he comes again, and the assumption all the way through is that he will come again, that we'll be caught up with them. This is God's people in its picture. It says, encourage one another with these words. This is hope, church. It is encouraging. We've talked, some say Ecclesiastes is a morbid book, and we're kind of working on it. On Sunday morning here in the auditorium class, we're talking about hope. You know, when he says, how dies the wise man? As the fool, and it kind of sounds like it's all over. This idea brings it back and gives us a different vision there. Chapter 5, now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. He says that to a group of people that he says, you know this. We need to know it, church. Two things. Number one, he will come. I love it. You love it. We know it. He will come as a surprise element. That one, we've been told that we're to watch and be ready. watch and pray. We need to be keenly aware of the possibility of the coming of Christ. You know, we don't need to get lethargic on this issue. It needs to be a motivating force in our lives. And I'm guilty. I'm talking to me. I'm guilty of getting to the, well, it didn't happen till the last, I'm 71 years old. It hasn't happened yet. And so it's easy to get to thinking, yeah, well, I'm going to die before the Lord comes and it'll be somewhere down the line. And I get into that mode and I think I'm reading here, that's not a healthy mode, Phil. I need to be continually, actively energized by the thought that Jesus could come at any point in time. Therefore, I need to be ready and watchful. Verse 3, while people are saying there is peace and security, that's kind of where I was, then sudden destruction will come on them as labor pains are come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. That's those who have no hope, who are not ready. But you, we're flipping back and forth, are not in darkness, brothers, for the day to surprise you like a thief. Hebrews says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I always have to say, but there's no reason for any of us to fall into the hands of God. We can be prepared. Jesus makes us prepared. Okay, verse 4 again. You are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Amen. So then, let us not sleep. That's an interesting word. As others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. The text uses that sober word frequently. It's a watchful, serious. It has serious involved in it. But it's a word that is very active in our motivation and our thinking process toward God. So we're to be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, the light idea is here, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Reminiscent of Ephesians 6:10 and following, put on the whole armor of God. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a powerful verse, isn't it? We're destined there. I don't know what yours has. But God didn't fix us up to be wrathful in our end process. Okay, but successful. Okay, we're not dark, we're light. So our obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ is our focus right here. Who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, alive or dead, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. I'm reading from my wife's text here, and she's done a good job. I'm going to preach from her text a little. Because she went through and wrote my job in several places here. That gives me an application, doesn't it? So this one, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as they are doing here. That's my job. That's your job. That's our job. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And then the next, clear through 22, Kath has written, my job. We urge you, brothers, to admonish the idle. Sometimes that's all of us, isn't it? We can get pretty idle sometimes. The faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient with them all. Be patient with your preacher and elders. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Some good things coming up. Rejoice always. This is what the Lord wants for us, to be a happy Christian, not down in the mouth. There's good news doesn't make us anything but rejoicing if we get the news. Pray without ceasing. I need to do a better job there. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. We need to be a thankful people. We have to be mindful to be thankful. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. I think of the word discern there. We have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here we are. Hold fast to what's good. Abstain from evil. We need to be able to discern between those. And God's Word will help us. Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body, I don't think there's anything left of you, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's kind of the theme in the area, the coming of Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Write it down. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. Makes me feel good about reading this part of it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Simple lesson. Surely biblical. Good for us. Isn't it great that we have this great hope? It is, you know, we have young ones here. We have some of us that are older. It is certainly true that the older you get, the more convinced you become that you're not going to live forever. And to have the assurance, Bruce, don't laugh. Oops, sir. To have the assurance that we belong to God, whether we live or whether we die. That if we happen to be partakers of His coming again, could that happen? You know it could happen. You know, we just get lazy and whatever about thinking that it won't happen in our lifetime. It could. And if we're partakers of that, good. He will pull us up to meet all of His loved ones, it seems to me, those that belong to Him, and we'll all be forever in that way. And there's other passages that can help with that a little bit. And you can seek to know all about the end times and eschatology and all those big words. You're still going to have some faith that's going to have to make up the difference, and you're going to have to leave some of it in God's hands. But this, no. If we belong to God through Christ Jesus, the great thing that He's done for us in His wisdom, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Son of God. If we belong to Him in Christ, nothing can trouble us. We can rejoice. We can live freely. We can live in the light, and we can expect to belong to God in the end of things. That's my view of eschatology. I don't know a lot about the details. Be careful trying to know those. But I do know what the end holds. God holds tomorrow. He holds our future. He's purchased it with the blood of Christ Jesus. And we need to belong to Him through Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. We just love to hear you confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Confessing His name as we amen it. You repent of your sins. You're buried in a watery grave of baptism, planted together in the likeness of His death. And then you can look forward to being in the likeness of his resurrection, as the text says in Romans 6. We're a small group this morning. We're still family. We still love one another. We still have the power of prayer, and we share that with one another. We'd love to pray with you and for you if you need that. Please come as together we stand and sing. So Jesus calleth tenderly upon your